Hebrews 10, verse 35. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Written to the persecuted Hebrew church. The writer says, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence." Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Father, we pray you bless this time this morning. Help us to gain great confidence in you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Why can we be confident? Cast it not away. Don't cast it away. Don't cast what away? Your confidence. I should have confidence? Yes. I should be incredibly confident. You as a young man, a young woman here today, should be incredibly confident. As an older man or woman here this morning, you should be the example of what it means to be and to have confidence. The word for confidence, paresia, it means two things: boldness in speaking and free and fearless confidence. That's the word paresia. Boldness in speaking and fearlessness. To not be afraid. To exercise boldness is an amazing thing. Many of the verses where the Bible talks about Jesus speaking plainly and with authority use the word paresia. You know, Jesus speaking plainly and boldly and with authority, paresia. The writer of Hebrews says, don't throw this away. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't throw away your confidence. Apobalo. A-P-O-B-A-L-L-O. Apobalo. Two words. The word apo means away. The word balo means to throw away and let go of a thing, not caring where it falls. Interesting. Not caring where it falls. So if you were to translate this all out, it would say this. Don't throw away the very thing that spells who you are in Christ, that displays your boldness and who you are in Jesus Christ, as if you don't care where it goes. Don't be sloppy with what belongs to you. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't be careless. And don't surrender. Don't be careless and don't surrender. But why can a believer stand in the face of an emperor and speak the truth like Paul did? How can three young men stand in front of a ruthless dictator and tell him that they wouldn't bow and they wouldn't do what he wanted and face a fiery furnace? How could a man with what some would call may have been a speech impediment stand in front of the Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go? Where does that confidence come from? Where does that paresia have its roots? Where does a man like Peter get his boldness from? Where did it come from? And where did someone like a Hudson Taylor or a Josephus Holly, or whoever it is, where do these believers get this unwavering, confident fearlessness in Jesus Christ? Where does it come from? I'm going to tell you where I think it comes from. And I'm going to give them to you just in a little list here this morning, okay? I'm going to tell you, he never leaves us, he's always for us, he never changes, and he never loses. This is why. I'll say it again. He never leaves us. He's always for us. He never changes, and he never loses. Let me say it again. He never leaves us. He's always for us. He never changes. And God never, ever loses. Now, somebody say amen in the house this morning. That's right. He never leaves us. Hebrews 13:5, the incredible famous verse. Many of us read it. Many of us have found great comfort in this. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with the things that you have. For he said, I will never leave you or forsake you in a very transient world. It's easy to get a little shaken by the comings and goings of people. Remember when we lived in Rome, we were there, the Air Force base was right there, and there were a lot of military folks that came in and out of our church all the time. It was heartbreaking because you had fallen in love with these families. I just reached out to a family that I haven't talked to in 25 years, had a great conversation with Mike Winston and his wife Debbie. They were part of the Air Force base. Said some amazing things. They said that they remembered much of the things that we did there. And it was really encouraging to talk to him and amazing. But, you know, there was a transience to that. And I remember at one point, every time a military family would show up in church, we'd say to ourselves, this is amazing, wonderful, but I don't want to get attached. I don't want to get too involved. You know, you'd start thinking that way. Because they would leave. And the world is like that now. Sue sent me an article this morning about this nomad career, which is growing. What are they called again? Nomad. It's a thing. They're nomads. And what they are, basically, they're Americans or foreigners or Europeans, and they have found these online remote positions and jobs and careers where they go anywhere and wherever they are, and they don't have to have a home. They're nomads. Digital nomads. Thank you, Matt. It's a huge, growing portion of the population. They don't put roots down anywhere. They don't have to because they are remote. And many of them have freelance jobs. They're freelance writers, freelance secretaries, freelance administrators. There's a lack of loyalty with that and some other things. It's really interesting. But the nature of the world is that people forsake each other. People betray each other. Sadly, people forget each other. And the new word, people ghost each other. They forsake each other. They betray each other. They forget each other, they ghost each other, they lie to each other. But that's never the case with Jesus Christ. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never betray you. I will never forget you. And God never ghosts us. Sometimes people pray when they're having a difficult time and they think, how come God's not answering me? How come God is ghosting me? God's not ghosting you. God doesn't ghost anybody. God doesn't run from anybody or hide from anybody or forsake anybody or leave anybody. David at one point said, God, how long will you forsake me? And God just answered him right away. So what are you talking about? God never forsakes his own. He never leaves us. Say that out loud. He's never left you, never left you. Never, ever, ever left you. He's never left you one time. Now, I know there were times where I felt God had left me, but guess what was the real thing? I'm the one who walked away. But guess what? When I was walking away, I turned around. Guess who was there? He wouldn't leave me. He wouldn't forsake me, even when I walked away. You're going to get to the end of your days. And your days are numbered. We talked about this last night. You're going to look over your shoulder. There are going to be two people who have been following you the whole time. Shirley and Mercy. Or no. Shirley. Mercy and goodness. David said, they followed me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy, they followed me all the days of my life. He never, ever leaves us or forsakes us, Michael. Do you believe this? Good. All right. I can move to the next point. Mike's on board. Number one, he never leaves us. Number two, he's always for us. What does it mean that God is for us? You've heard the verse. If God is, who can be? Really, if God is for me, does it matter who's against us? That's what's being implied there, right? How many of you remember the World Wide Wrestling Federation? Raise your hand. There were certain guys when you had tag teams, you know, you'd have one, this one guy, this scrawny little guy, and then you'd have this monster with him, right? And that guy could probably say, if Andre the Giant is for me, what does it matter who the tag team, the other guys are, right? If God is for me, who do I care is against me? Who do I care comes against? Satan? Who cares? Satan, pipsqueak, lying, scrawny, forsaking, deceptive little pipsqueak, dirtball carcass he is. What do I care if he's against me? What do I care if his little demons come against me? Who cares if he's against me? Then you go to the world. Who cares this corporation or this person or that person or these words or this thing over here? It's like, who cares? If God is for me, it doesn't matter who's against me. Romans chapter 8, let's read it. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now Paul's making this argument. Not only does it not matter who's against us, if God wouldn't spare his own son, what makes us think God wouldn't want to give us everything we need to live this life? He gave his own son for me. What do I think? God's going to hold back now? Right? God's not going to hold back now. He's not holding anything back. He gave his own son. How much more would God not freely give me all things? Next verse. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Here's Paul saying, literally, I don't even care if I'm guilty. I'll correct it. I want to grow. I don't want to stay guilty. But who can bring a charge against me? Let me just say this to you this morning. You may feel guilty for something you did. If you've confessed that and you believe God has forgiven you, what's the difference what anybody else says about that? God is the only one who could bring a charge, and he won't. The only one that had a right to judge that woman caught red-handed in adultery in John chapter 8 wouldn't condemn her. He could have, he didn't. He's the only one that had a right to, and he wouldn't do it. God is the only one that has a right to condemn you. And he won't. So who can bring a charge against God's elect if God himself won't? Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died. There can be no condemnation in Romans 8:1. Who's at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Now he gives the list. Tribulation, is that going to do it? No. Distress, is that going to do it? No. Persecution, is that going to do it? No. Famine, can that do it? Can that separate you from the love of God? No. Nakedness? No. Peril? No. War or sword? No. Nope. If God is for us, who can be against us? I am persuaded. Oh, verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now Paul says right before that, for your sake, we are killed all day long and counted as sheep to the slaughter, as it is written. Psalm 44, verse 22. Yet in all these things, even under persecution, I'm not separated from the love of God. Doesn't mean persecution won't happen. It just means I'm not going to be separated from the love of God. And whether or not I'm persecuted is not the measure of or not whether God is for me. Hello? Hello? God is for me. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, powers, or present and things to come, neither height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. He will always love me no matter what, and he will always be for us. Number one, he never leaves us. Number two, he's always for us. Number three, he never changes. He never changes. You know why that's comforting? Because he won't change his mind about me or you. James 1:17 says there's no variableness or shadow of turning. And before that, it says every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. He doesn't change. He'll always be my Father. He'll always be the Father of lights. He'll always be good to me. He'll always care for me. There's nothing that'll ever change that because God doesn't change. God doesn't have, ready for this? Listen. God doesn't have mood swings. Hello? God didn't wake up on the wrong side of the throne this morning, decide he's going to come after you a little bit. Right? My friend Paul Stevens tells a story. His mother would be yelling and screaming at him. She was the pastor's wife. She'd be carrying on, and then one day she answers the phone. Ring, ring, ring. It's like, hello? And then she hung up the phone, and she looked at the kids, and she said, she looked right at Pastor Paul. She said, he was a little boy. Isn't that ridiculous? How I could be that toward you and then that toward them. See, God doesn't do that. Not only is God immutable, and that's a theological term, but God doesn't treat me one way and then treat someone else another way and then treat someone else another way. He is consistent in his treatment towards us. He never, ever, ever, ever changes. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why does that comfort me that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Because you know what? He met someone caught in adultery. He's the same today. He met somebody who was an accuser and a thief. Remember the thief on the cross? There were two of them there. Right? He treats them, say, treats thieves the same way as he treated them back then. He treats adulterers the same way as he treated them back then. And he treated the guy who would betray him the same way he treated the rest of those guys when he washed all their feet. He's the same yesterday as he is today. And he's the same today as he was back then. Jesus hasn't changed a bit. God doesn't change. He's immutable. And he doesn't have mood swings. He never leaves us. He's always for us. He never changes. And then my favorite, my personal favorite this morning, he never loses. He never loses. It was brought up this morning. We've been in Colossians, but I love this verse. This is was read again today, Colossians 2:15. He disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Not only has he taken away the weapons of the enemy, he's at a parade, and the parade's over. He had a, was it a ticker tape parade. And he put them on display. They're defeated. He never loses. He never loses. And then he shares that with me. And this verse happened to be brought up again today, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Not 3:14 or 4:14, 2:14. And there it says, now thanks be to God who always, look at this word this morning, always, when? Always. How often? Is it consistent? I'd say he always leads us in triumph in Christ. Now, I may get beat up once in a while, but I'll triumph. I may be on the wrong end of a bad decision, but I'll be back. I may get thrown down, knocked around, knocked off balance, kicked around, shoved around, fall down, stumble, but I'll always triumph in the end. Why? Because God never loses. And as David said, the battle is whose? The Lord's. And the Lord has never lost a single fight. He's never lost a fight. He's never lost a case. He's never lost a game. He's never lost anything. He doesn't lose. He never leaves us. He's always for us. He never changes. And he never, ever, ever loses. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, and he rejoices over us with singing." He's already having the party. He's having the celebration party with us. He's in the midst of us, and God is mighty in our midst. He's mighty in this day, in this age, in this time, in our lives. He is mighty. He never, ever loses. No one will ever point to a battle and say, "Hey, we got you that time, God." Nope. He never, ever loses. He never leaves us. He's always for us. He never changes, and he never loses. Now, aren't you glad of that this morning? This is why you and I can face things with confidence. I want to tell you another reason we can face things with confidence. Because Jeremiah 29:11 says that the Bible says that he's given me an expected end. There is an end in sight that already belongs to me. I want you to listen to the way I said that. It's very important. Because of who I am in Christ, the end already belongs to me. I'm complete in Christ. That belongs to me, not one day and now. I'm in Christ and righteous. He's made us the righteousness of God in Christ. That's not for one day. That's now. Right now, I'm righteous. Right now, I'm complete in Christ. Right now, I'm in heavenly places. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's for right now. It doesn't matter what my condition is. My position is perfect in Jesus Christ. And God has declared it so. It is a settled fact that I am his own child. He's given me a new name. He's made me a new creature. He's settled the issue once and for all and made us perfect in Christ. That's what the Bible says. That's not Jerry. That's him. He said it, not me. Hello? So God's already declared and established these things as absolute facts. And my life, now this is a beautiful thing. My life, they wrote a book about me. It started many, many years ago, before I was born. And one of the authors in the book said that I am crucified with Christ. And then another author in the book said that I was buried and crucified and risen with Christ. And then another author in the book says, I'm going to be raised with Christ and meet him in the air. And then another author of the book says that I'm going to come back with him in Revelation 19. Read this with me, because you'll want to jump up on your chair and shout hallelujah when you read this. Revelation 19, verse 8. To her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen. This is the church. Fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And then you go down to verse 14 and it says, and the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. This is my biography. This is going to happen to me. Not because I did anything, not because he owes me anything, not because I earned anything, but because it's already been written and established that this is going to happen to me and you. Hello? This is ours. There's been a book written about you. Maybe it'll be a movie one day, but there's been a book written about you. So why can I be confident? Because I know the end of the book. I know the end of the story. I know how this ends. What are you afraid is going to happen to you? Don't worry what's going to happen to you. You're told what's going to happen to you. We already know the end. Remember that song Karen used to sing? I read the back of the book and we win. It's a great song. I read the back of the book. I read the, you know, when in school I used to do that. Read the first couple of pages, read the back of the book. Go to the back. How is that? Yeah, I'm one of those guys when you start watching a series, a TV series, you go online to find out what happens to the character. Oh, they do die. Yeah, here's what's going to happen to you and I. One day we're going to, if we're not raptured, we die. And then we're in heaven. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That happens. It's a promise. But see, then we rise again with him and meet him in the air. Then we return with him for 1,000 years on the earth. Ah. White horses. I've never ridden a horse before. You will. Right from the heavens. Kathy, you'll be flying. It'll be on a horse. Yeah, well, you're going to fly before then, too. In the rapture. Two flights. One layover. And so we have this amazing thing that's going to happen to us, and it's spelled out in the book. There's a book been written about you and I. And then finally, in Revelation 21, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more pain. Hallelujah. For the former things have passed away. Read that with me this morning. Revelation 21, verse 4. And God, say it right out loud. Ready? And I'll give you a second to get there. Revelation 24. You there? Raise your hand if you're there. Ready? And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There'll be no more pain. The former things have passed away. And behold, he who sat on the throne said, behold, I'll make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. You know, these words are true and faithful, friends. I'm telling you, this is our book. This is our end. It's expected. We're just waiting for it. So why can I be confident? Well, because he never leaves us. Because he's always for us. Because he never changes. And because he never loses. And then finally, because there's a book that's been written about you and I, our autobiography. And here it is right here. And in the end, you just saw what happens. So throw your shoulders back, look at your life with confidence, and move forward with boldness, and don't let anybody push you around. Anybody. Amen? Okay, Father, thank you for this morning. We pray you bless these words to our hearts. Help us to be confident in the right things, the right way. Show us, Lord, our place in ministry. And God, as we serve you and speak, we pray that you would bless everybody here, our families, and minister to each one here these words in Christ's name, amen.